to come up here once again to Forest Hills and give you guys a lesson. I always enjoy these opportunities. It gives me the exposure to the scriptures that I normally don't set aside that time to do for one reason or another. But I appreciate, as always, it's a great opportunity for me to learn. I think I've probably learned more than everybody, but hopefully what I'm about here to share with you today will be of use and that you'll be able to apply in your everyday lives, and I would encourage you to open up your Bibles and follow along. I was reading on the internet the other day an article on MindSportLive.com, and this article was about optimism, and it said optimists achieve more. Optimists are noted to achieve more than the pessimists. This is because optimists tend to proceed in the face of difficulties, while pessimists are more likely to throw in the towel at the first sign of trouble. Tendency and determination are two of the greatest predictors of success, and these characteristics seem to come hand in hand with the mindset of optimism. In the pursuit of success, everyone has obstacles from time to time, and in order to be successful, you need to have a drive and conviction to overcome temporary roadblocks. And then the article went on to say, optimists are more healthy. A study reported by LifeScience.com showed that cardiovascular system of optimists is significantly more likely to stay healthier longer when compared with the pessimist system. More specifically, the study also showed that people who described themselves as highly optimistic had a lower mortality rate from cardiovascular disease than pessimists. The world-renowned social psychiatrist Martin Seligman also supported this stance by showing that optimists and pessimists differ markedly in how long they live. The brain and body are undoubtedly interconnected, so it comes of no surprise that a negative mind over time will impart a negative influence on the function of the body. So reading that article sparked the thought with me, is like, wow, I never really thought of optimism and pessimism in that way. And how does that apply to us being Christians? So as we go through this, I would ask you to, as we go through this lesson, when it comes to optimism versus pessimism, how should the Christian view their world? As an overview today, we will define what optimism and pessimism actually are so that we can be on a firm understanding of what's being talked about here. Then we'll evaluate some situations that we as Christians face, such as feelings and actions towards our fellow men and Christians alike. We'll also look at how we view our health. I think a lot of times we as individuals can be very pessimistic towards our own health. The work of the church. Over the years of growing up in the church, being a church member, I think the men ourselves, we can speak, we've attended church meetings where people are often pessimistic about the work of the church. We'll also look at just our general journey through life, our everyday lives. How are we pessimistic, or how should we be optimistic in our everyday lives? And then finally, just to keep everything in balance, I do believe that there's a time that we as Christians should be pessimistic, and we'll look at some of those examples. All right, so let's get started, and let's start defining some terms that we can look to see how we can understand what we're talking about here. Optimism is defined as a disposition or tendency to look on the more favorable side of an event or condition and to expect the most favorable outcome. These definitions I got from dictionary.com. It also is the belief that good ultimately predominates over the evil of the world. It's the belief that goodness pervades reality. Let's also look at some synonyms. We often see different words used throughout the Bible, and when we come across these words in the Scriptures, let's see some of these things that we can see that we can put in for optimism, like anticipation, assurance, rightness, calmness, certainty, cheer, cheerfulness, confidence, easiness, encouragement, enthusiasm, exhilaration, expectation, happiness, hopefulness, idealism, positivism, sureness, and trust. These are all different words that ultimately mean or can mean or are synonyms for optimism. Alright, so how can we define pessimism? Well, pessimism is defined as the tendency to see, anticipate, or emphasize only bad or undesirable outcomes, results, conditions, or problems. We see it's also the doctrine that the existing world is the worst of all possible worlds, or that all things naturally tend to be evil. It's the belief that the evil and pain in the world are not compensated for goodness and happiness. With that being said, what are some synonyms in relationship to pessimism? We see cynicism, dark side, dejection, depression, despair, depression, dim view, distrust, despondency, expectation of worse, gloom, grief, hopelessness, low spirits, sadness, unhappiness. These are all synonyms for pessimism, or words that we can see are often used in everyday life or throughout the Scriptures that can be interrelated with pessimism. Alright, as always, I always like to add in some famous quotes or whatnot as we transition from one area to another. So before we go on, let's see, what are others saying about optimism and pessimism? We see René Descartes, a famous author here, says an optimist may see a light where there is none. But why must a pessimist always run to blow it out? Alright. Our next subject that we're going to go into is how optimism applies in our Christian life. So, should we be optimistic towards our fellow man? Being in the church, can we be pessimistic or cynic towards our fellow brother? I can warn for a test that we absolutely can. I've had witnessed fellow brethren, quote unquote, say, well, I can love him as a brother, but I don't have to like him. What kind of talk is that? I don't think that we can be pessimistic towards a fellow brother within the church and the church universal. If you turn to 1 John 3:10, if we look there, we'll see where it says there, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Alright, just the next chapter over in 1 John. It says there in chapter 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who he has seen, How can he love God for who he has not seen? So can we afford not to love our neighbor? Okay, we covered brothers that are our fellow brothers or brothers in Christ, if you will. What about when it comes to the everyday man? What about those individuals that we meet out along the road? If you recall, last time I was here, we studied the Good Samaritan, and I would attest that the priest and Levite were pessimistic about helping the Good Samaritan along the road. We can see this over in Luke chapter 10, and there in verses 31 and 32, it says, "Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and he saw him, and he passed over him on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, and came and looked, and passed by on the other side." So the Levite especially could barely clearly see that man on the side of the road, and he just turned his head and walked the other way. Why might he have done that? Could have been because that he was pessimistic, or he didn't want to take time to help him out, or that he was fearful for his own life, or something terrible would happen. We can also look over in Mark chapter 12, verse 33. Here it says, "And to love him with all the heart, and with all understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all who burnt offerings and sacrifices." So here, Christ is telling us that to love our neighbor is more, is meant more than the offering itself. So I think that should put in perspective that we shouldn't be pessimistic towards our neighbor. We shouldn't automatically assume the worst in our fellow man, that we should have to be optimistic and give them the benefit of the doubt, because that is truly showing love for our fellow man or our neighbor, if you will. So how does this attitude affect those around us? Well, I would say if we are negative, how can we be a shining light? We see over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Just as we talked about in the article, the scientific conclusion there with those psychiatrists as well as those other doctors is that when we're negative by spirit, that negativity will exude in our demeanor, our facial expressions, and whatnot. And so if we are pessimistic as individuals, how can we be exuding a shining light? I think it would be contrary to be that of a shining light. If we are looking to the glory of God, shouldn't we be exuding happiness and kindness to our fellow man? Will we come across as hypocrites? We profess to be Christians, we profess to be of God and to be caring and loving of one another. If you look over there in 1 John 3:18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongues, but in deed and in truth." And I would argue with you that if you are a pessimist about any particular thing out there in the world, that you will come across as not being very loving, and that is putting into word and action, not just what is being said. All right. So our next area, what about concerning our health? We talked about how often we can become consumed with our personal health, how I've seen fellow brothers and sisters in Christ become consumed either about their own personal health or about health of a loved one. If it's not just our own personal, what about that one of our children get sick? Do we not often worry and become very complacent because they're suffering? Or what about those Christians that suffer from hypochondriacism, or they are a hypochondriac? The definition of a hypochondriac is an excessive preoccupation with and worry about one's health. So to worry about one's health, would what worrying or that fear be another word for being pessimistic about oneself. We also talk about becoming depressed over one's health of a loved one. Well, does that possibly show a lack of faith? If we consider this, there is no adverse power greater or mightier than God. Therefore, referring to Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? When we contemplate all that is meant in this passage, a warm, securing feeling is produced within our hearts. How wonderfully bright things become. We might lose our relatives, our earthly friends, our health, but the Lord remains. Considering Hebrews 13, verse 5, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, should we really be concerned over our health, or should we focus our attention on God and realize that He is always with us and that He is there to comfort us and to watch out for us? I think if we do that, we will become more optimistic about our own health and not worry so much about it, but focus on the life ever after. Consider this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For the light of affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So Paul here is telling the Corinthians, the word affliction here, you can substitute in sickness as well. Affliction means that as well. So Paul is telling them that this is just but for a small moment of time here on earth, that we should be working, that it is working far more exceedingly for that eternal glory. So when we become sick or whatnot, don't be consumed and preoccupied with that. Just focus on what is important, those things which are up in heaven. Alright, what about when it comes to the work of the church? Can we often become very pessimistic when it comes to working, of whether it be spreading the word of the gospel or our fellow men within the church? I came across an article written by Rick Riggins called Positively Optimistic. He's a fellow brother in Christ, and he wrote this article. And his first point in this article, the author would talk about, he talked about pessimists, and we define those, and he also talked about a cynic, or a person who is motivated in their actions by selfishness. And then he also talked about a fatalist, or one who believes that all events are determined by fate and hence inevitable. He goes on in the article and he states, such negative people not only hurt themselves but also those around them. They're especially a menace to any team effort. Their negativity tends to break the spirit of those trying to press forward and accomplish something good. The fatalist hurts the group by inflicting the idea that it's of no use to try, you can't change things anyway. The pessimist hurts the group by everything in the most negative way possible. They tried that before and it didn't work. Or, that's too hard. We'll never be able to do that. And then the cynic hurts the group by questioning the motives of everyone else. You're just trying to get your own way. Or, they could say, you're just trying to put yourself forward. Indeed, such negative people can truly throw cold water on almost any project and break down the team effort to work together. So, through his article, I came to realize that pessimists within the church can be a real hindrance on the work of the church by affecting that overall team effort, if you will, the working as a congregation to stifle that work that we should be encouraged to do. As far as faith having to control everything, we can see that God has faith God, not fate, has control of the world. And when we go to James chapter 4, verses 15 and 14 and 15, we say, there where is written, whereas do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to see, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So it's not by faith, but by God's will that things transpire here within the world. So don't let the fatalist affect those things that we ought to do. Don't we have as a pessimist, when we're very pessimist towards the growth of the church or doing the work of the church, we don't have confidence in ourselves or in God. Perhaps they settle for mediocrity, or they become complacent when you're very pessimistic. Or perhaps maybe you feel that they have gone as far as they need to, and that they need to go no further. Or in other words, resting on their laurels. How many old, especially when it comes to older members of the church, I'm not picking on anybody, so don't take it as that. But we often, I've seen several faithful brethren over the years, as they got up in their years of age, that they stopped working so fervently that they felt that they had done enough already, and that it was time for the younger men to take over and do work. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, as we get older, that we don't have as much energy as we once did, but we should be mindful not to rest on our laurels, that we need to press on and finish that race that we had set out so long ago to do. So Christians, why should we be optimistic towards the work of the church? Those are a lot of reasons or a lot of ways in which we can be pessimistic, but how should we be optimistic, or what should inspire us to be optimistic in the things that we do within the church? Well, what about the spiritual blessings that we receive? If you turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3, we'll read there in verses 1 and 2, where it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. So once again, our blessings are in heaven, not here on earth. Should we be optimistic because God is on our side? Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we should realize that we can do anything that we want to because Christ is with us and is on our side. What about in Romans 8:31, where it says, when then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So remember, God is on our side. What about in teaching and attempting to convert the lost? So I think that's probably the most most often when we become the most pessimistic. I know I'm guilty of that. Often I'm very fearful to go up and share the gospel with somebody, or to correct somebody at work that's maybe speaking in error, because perhaps I'm afraid of what they might say, or perhaps maybe what they might do, or perhaps that I might fail. I may fail to convert those individuals. If you would turn with me over into 1 Corinthians verses 3 and 7, and you'll have to excuse me. I'm sorry, I forgot to write down that verse, and I forgot to bring my Bible up with me. I'm sorry. Well, read that verse for yourself. I think that verse there definitely tends to us to realize that we should be compelled and be very optimistic when it comes to teaching the lost and converting them. So what are others saying? We see here that William Arthur Ward, he says, optimism is a seed sown in the soil of faith, but pessimism is a seed hoarded in the vault of doubt. I think that's very applicable when it comes to spreading the gospel. Should we be throwing that seed out there and having faith in that seed? Or should we be hoarding it for ourselves in this vault of ourselves and not sharing it with those out in the world? Alright, what about pessimism when it comes to our daily walk through life? What about when it comes to just those daily interactions through life? Should we be pessimistic towards those things, or should we be optimistic? What about our attitude towards our jobs? Do we complain, and or are we not satisfied with our profession? How often do we see those at work that complain that they don't like this job, or they don't get paid enough, or whatever it might be? What about, do we strive for more because we are not satisfied? Well, consider Luke chapter 3, verse 14, for those of us that are Christians. Here we see the Roman soldier asking Christ this question. It says, likewise, the soldier asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he told him, this is Christ, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. So should we not be content with those things that have been provided with us? If you study the things that we receive, we realize that all things that we receive are God's, and everything that God has provided to us, that we're just stores. So our jobs or professions, we're just stores of those things that God has given us. So should we be content with those things that He has given us? What about our general welfare? In Hebrews 3, verse 5, we read that just a few minutes ago. It says, let our conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So here, once again, we're reminded that we need to be content with those things which we have been given. What about materialism? When it comes to materialism, like I say, we want a bigger car, we want a bigger house, we're just not content with those things which we have. Nothing wrong with having those things, but should we be pessimistic towards those things that we already have? Well, consider Colossians 3, verse 2, where it says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. If you're focusing on heaven, will you be consumed or preoccupied or in disregard with those things that here on earth? What about Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, where it says, then He said to the disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. So right there, Christ tells us, don't worry about those things. What about in 1 Titus 6 to 8? Let's read over there. Or 1 Timothy. It says, and having food and clothing, and in some translations, raiment, shelter, with these things we shall be content. So I think the scriptures clearly show that we shouldn't be pessimistic or saddened or disheartened with those things that we have. That we should actually be content and thankful. And if we are, when we're thankful, we are what? That's a word, a synonym for being optimistic. With that being said, as we transition on, what are others saying? Well, Helen Keller tells us optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. I think her words are very true. So I said, there's probably a time that we should be pessimistic as Christians. I think as with all things in life, it's not being skewed one way and not the other. If everything's on a continuum, the goal is to be in the middle. To be to one side or the other is to be out of kilter. So with that being said, when's the time should we be pessimistic as Christians? What about when dealing with false prophets? Aren't we warned that we should be fearful of these individuals and to be aware? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Christ says, beware of false prophets who who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. So we should be very pessimistic when dealing with somebody that is speaking contrary to the Scriptures. What about when we're tempted by the devil? Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So we should be very pessimistic or be fearful about being when we're tempted. What about anything that is contrary to the Scriptures? There in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we see, for the time will come when they will not ensure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itchy ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers. So Paul's telling Timothy to be cautious of to endure the sound doctrine and to be very skeptic or pessimistic about things that are contrary to the Word of God. So I think those are three examples, and there's many more. These are just highlights. There's many more times that we should be probably pessimistic as Christians. But I think, once again, it's not... it's when we should be pessimistic and when we should be optimistic is the challenge that we have as Christians. Some other worldly words of wisdom here. Winston Churchill's quoted in saying, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. And I think that's very true, especially when it comes to doing the work of the church. Should we be pessimistic about doing the work of the church, or should we be very optimistic in pursuing that work? Another thought here for you by Robert Louis Stevenson. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Alright, so in closing, in final summation here, we define what optimism and pessimism is. We evaluated some situations. We talked about how we shouldn't be pessimistic towards our feelings and actions towards fellow men and Christians. We talked about how we should be optimistic, that a pessimistic attitude would exude negativity in our dealings with these people. We should also be, we saw from the article in the beginning that being pessimistic has a negative effect on your health. And that we shouldn't be pessimistic towards our health at all, that we should have our trust in God. We also talk about the work of the church, how being pessimistic towards the work of the church can be detrimental to the entire congregation, that we should not let those who are pessimistic discourage us from carrying out the work of the church, that we should actually be encouraged and look to the Scriptures to be optimistic towards converting new souls or and doing the work of the church. Then we also looked at how pessimism and optimism affects our daily walk in our lives, where we talk about materialism, our job, and our general welfare, that we should be content with what we have and not complain or be in discord with everything that we have been given, that, well, we need to be good stewards. And then we looked at the times that we should be pessimistic, that once again, keeping that balance, that there's not that I'm not saying that we should always be optimistic. There is a time and place that we should be pessimistic, and that the key to success is in knowing when and how to apply each situation in our lives.